Be fair. Be inspiring. Be what you always wanted, you know?
You're listening to the Golden Rules Podcast, where we interview today's top music industry executives and hear how they started, lessons they've learned over their careers, and their golden rules for life and business. I'm your host, Tim Gray, CEO of Grayscale Marketing, an award-winning agency right here in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. This is the music business audio experience. This is the podcast, and these are the golden rules. Welcome to episode 10.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden Rules. I'm your host, Tim Gray, and today we're in the beautiful Starstruck Studios right here on Historic Music Row. John Folk is in the studio. Thank you, sir, for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
This is great.
And we're still so new into this. Honestly, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. I'm flattered you asked, man.
Well, for those of you that don't know John, John's 22-year music industry grizzly old vet, who was at one of the largest at the time independent booking agencies, Buddy Lee Attractions, for 15 years. Got his foot in the door from an internship, and through time, hustle, commitment, dedication, and busting his ass, 15 years later became the vice president of the agency.
Yeah.
7 years ago, he decided it was time to pivot, go more into the entrepreneur route, and as a founder of Red 11, a booking agency based in Tennessee and in Texas. Yeah. Over his career, he's worked with artists that I know you've all heard of and listened to at different times, Tracy Lawrence, Dixie Chicks, Miranda Lambert, Jason Aldean, Jeff Foxworthy, and now some of my favorite up-and-coming artists. I really love Charlie Crockett.
Oh, man.
And Travis Meadows' fucking album. Good Lord, Killing Uncle Buzzy.
Absolutely unbelievable.
1,000 times in a row.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if you're not sad, he'll get you there.
Absolutely. I mean, what a talent. Unbelievable songwriter. Really,
good Lord, that man just rips your guts out. And not only is he an entrepreneur, he's a leader of his office. He's built something special and unique in a creative home for people that are outside of the specific just cowboy country hat Nashville. For Americana, folk artists, roots rock, red dirt, you name it. He's built a living and keep these acts on the road through helping to build their careers, working with labels, working with managers, working with independent artists, and has built a hell of an agency and a hell of a team. He's a guy I very much respect. He's never turned me down for a lunch or a coffee here in town, even when he didn't know who I was. So, again, sir, thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely, man.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, man. Well, I know just from what we've bullshitted on in the past and stuff we've talked in passing, but I don't know what's the origin story, man. Where'd you come from? Where's home? You know, how did you get here? How did this whole story come to be?
You know, I grew up outside of Houston, Texas, in a little town called Willis, Texas. I played in bands, you know, high school bands to rock bands to reggae bands from the time I was a teenager. I ended up going to school in Mississippi, University of Southern Mississippi.
Okay.
Got my degree in music business. And, you know, basically back then it was like you either go to L.A., New York, or Nashville. And Nashville seemed to be the best fit for me, you know, personally growing up in the South. So after I graduated, I moved here and fell in love with the town. You know, I couldn't imagine living anywhere else.
Yeah.
And with all the changes and the growth that's happening right now, it's pretty amazing from when I first got here, you know. Music Row looks totally different even today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I landed in Nashville, best fit for me. And
well, everybody I've talked to, you know, for the most part, I've only met a handful of people that are raised here.
Yeah.
Everyone else comes chasing some form of dream,
yeah,
whether it's tech or healthcare, or obviously music industry, creative, something like that. You knew it was obviously music industry you wanted to do because that's what you went to school for. Was it an agent specific that you thought that's what I want to do?
You know, honestly, you know, the degree in music business, and I'm sure it's much different now. You know, we're talking about 22 years ago. I didn't really understand the role. Even after graduating, like really what an agent did, I thought it was mostly like cold calling and there is that aspect of it, but I didn't really understand it. I always thought like I wanted to be a manager or be in the record label business, but I really didn't understand what that was either, you know, as a young kid. I did my internship at a place called World Class Talent, which was an independent agency. And in the beginning, like probably 6 months while I was there, Buddy Lee Attractions ended up buying World Class Talent. And one of the agents there, David Caswini, kind of went over in the transition and really got me a job at Buddy Lee as an assistant. And I was an assistant for all the agents. It's more of a, I more fell in love with the job as I learned more about it, being around it. I really was here also wanting to be a musician, a songwriter, but I started just falling in love with the day-to-day, seeing the deals, seeing how each agent had kind of his own niche of how to get things done, and just soaking it all in. And, you know, in the beginning at that time, I was working for free from 9 to 6 and loading trucks on weekends and doing, you know, construction work to try to pay the bills with my three roommates in a small apartment, you know. But it was, I never woke up not wanting to go to work, even in the beginning when I wasn't making any money.
Sure.
It was just, I don't know, it was just this, it was so lively, it was so much passion, it was really magical, you know. And of course at that time I was trying to discover how to be an adult, you know. So yeah, I fell in love with the job, but I really didn't understand it in the beginning. But
sure. Well, what a team you came up under over there, man.
Oh man.
David and Tony and good Lord.
Tony and Joey and Kevin Neal and Paul Lohr and, you know, these agents that have gone on to and represent incredible artists, you know, that are playing stadiums and, you know, they're some of my closest friends and,
sure.
And of course, mentors as well.
Oh, no doubt on that. When you said something there about being here as a young man, learning life and going through the process of finding what you're truly passionate about, what did you learn about yourself when you were going through that hustle of multiple jobs and learning a new craft? And
you know, you have to really want it if you're going to work that hard. It can't be a job. You know, I remember, one of those agents we just talked about in the beginning, you know, telling me it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. So you either really want it and, as you said, bust your ass to do whatever it takes to get it, or it's a job and you'll never last.
Sure.
You know, you'll never last. If you need to cut out at 5 or 6 o'clock every night and go home and turn off, it's not the right job.
Sure.
You know.
I've realized the longer I'm in it, the longer I work, but it's not because, you know, I'm trying to accomplish something. I'm just so in it and so enthralled and passionate about it. 18 hours just
sure.
go by. You sure. just realize that you've been there that long.
Sure.
You know. I think it's like that probably for any profession, but especially in something that's so many moving parts and it sucks you in so much like the industry where you're so passionate about each individual client or each individual song or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is it's the music business. You know, we could all go have a job in the corporate world or something else, but we chose this path of, you know, not wanting that. So
sure.
And when you're that young too, there's a million people behind you waiting for you to leave that want that spot.
No question.
So
when was the time when you were there, did you felt it click? You were like, oh, I can do this.
It was early on. It was such a transition going from World Class to Buddy Lee Attractions just because of how the agency, it was different agencies, you know, and how the day-to-day worked. Buddy Lee Attractions was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, it was like the perfect environment to learn and grow. It was independent, but it was very like family oriented, very tight knit. Everybody had your back. It was an awesome time. Everybody, we all hung out together. We all worked together. We were hustling, you know,
sure,
doing everything we could for those artists.
Was there, if you could go back now to that first day and someone could sit down and drop knowledge with you, what three things do you wish they would have told you before you started your career?
It was just such a positive experience of learning. I mean, you really take in life because, you know, at the time I was, 21 or 22, and I was learning how to be out on my own, as well as, you know, learning how to become an agent. So I don't think I'd want to know anything. Like, it was just such a great experience. And as long as you have the work ethic and, you know, it's like when I tell artists, developing artists, you know, it can't be about the money right now. If you chase the money, you're possibly going to lose a career. If you chase a career, the money will come. And I think that's something like my father always instilled in me, is do what you love. Don't worry about the money. The money will come because you'll be successful.
Sure.
You know, you're going to work harder at something you love. You know, it's just, you know, it's a simple rule we all probably learned as kids. And
I can vouch for it. It's 100% the truth.
Sure. Sure.
If it wasn't music, if you got into it after all that and you're like, all right, fuck this. This isn't for me.
Yeah.
What do you think it would have been?
You know, I'm always intrigued by, FBI. You know, all the shows.
Yeah.
You know, I love that stuff. I try to think that maybe that would be a path I would go, but I'm not really a fighter, and you know, I'm not a. I'm glad I chose music.
Yeah, no kidding, brother. What is it about the day to day? What is it about the industry that you think keeps you moving forward, that you love the most? Is it simply the joys and the hardships that come with entrepreneurship at this point, or is it seeing an artist blossom that you found and that you're helping to build a career, or is it still the music itself, the songs?
It's the art. I mean, I absolutely love listening and hearing songwriting. Like, it's very much about the song for me. I'm a lover of somebody that has an incredible gift and craft that can, you know, turn it into this unbelievable song. The first and foremost, the other aspect of it, I love live. I love create and building a show, watching the ticket counts, watching it go on sale, everything up to when it's over and the loadout, you know, just creating that environment for the artist, but also for the fans, you know, that they have an incredible experience. I love that basic aspect of building a show, you know. So, two different things there, you know.
Sure.
It's a song, but it's also the live.
I was speaking to a young band the other day, and I've generally kept an eye on their career, and they're all just great guys. The singer's voice is like Chris Cornell reborn. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
But we were talking about how to build a market, and they're like, "Well, how would you do it?" And I was like, "I've never built a market. Don't ask me." I was like, "But I got a guy coming in the show. I'll ask him." For a band, three-piece, rock, good songs, working on all the other stuff, what would your advice be to any artist out there that's looking to not only start touring but really start building key specific markets?
You know, I'm a big believer in the. To me, there's two paths to go about it. You can kind of wait and go for the record deal, see if you land a deal and they put an incredible marketing team behind you. And you get a national push immediately. And then the other, you know, the aspect that I love, being an independent and an entrepreneur and I love the aspect of the grassroots. I'm a true believer in you build the audience, everything else comes, you know. So in that aspect, you know, whatever part of the country he's in, I would say, you know, take a radius and work within it to build something. And when it's built, move beyond those borders, expand your radius. To me, when you do that, and I've seen it happen with many, many of the artists that I work with, nobody can take it away from you. You're not dependent on a hit single at radio. You're not dependent on somebody else. It's you've grown something that's yours that cannot be taken away. You're the only person that can give it away.
Sure.
So I
told them basically the same, but I said I would start in the living room until it spills out onto the porch, and then I would go into the backyard, and then I would take it to the smallest bar you could find that holds 50 people and make it a sellout, and then I would repeat.
Absolutely.
Until it is a radius, until it's a circle.
Hone
Stop
your
going
craft.
To a 1,500 cap room that you put four people in.
To me, I'd much rather have a sellout than leave tickets at the door.
Sure. And it just feels different when it's in there and it's
Absolutely.
Packed, you know, and it's sweaty and it's hot and you're in it.
Hell,
that's,
yeah.
That's the fun part about the live, when you can connect that
Absolutely.
Power of it, you know. I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule. And I know as an entrepreneur you've had to kind of go through this before, where you get sucked into the tediousness of it and the thing that's the most impactful for your business you're not able to spend enough time doing. What do you think the 20% of effort that you put in daily yields your 80% of results?
Great question. You know, I'm really blessed to have an incredible team and partner in Austin. And so the things that that are maybe more of a weakness for me, we have somebody in place that it's a strength for them.
Sure.
I truly believe in letting your associates take on responsibility. I'm not a micromanager. So, you know, as far as 80-20, the 20% is the not so fun stuff, but that's part of owning your own business. And I remember when I made the shift from working at Buddy Lee to starting Red 11, you know, I have had a ton of support from the Lee family, everybody, and a lot of the guys that I know that own their own business say, you know what, once you work for yourself, you'll never work for anybody again.
Sure.
And then on the flip side, they say, you're going to work way harder than you ever thought. And it's true.
That is 100%
true. It's true. It's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it.
I tell you what, if I put in the time and effort like I do for my company or for somebody else, I'd have been running whatever shop that was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a different level hustle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Over two decades, you've touched a lot. You've seen insides and outsides and upsides and downsides and changes in the industry and streaming and all these things. Through that, a lot of hard decisions had to be made and a lot of smart decisions had to be made. What are your guiding core principles behind making those decisions?
Well, like, for example, give me a...
You know, whether that decision to go start a business and what the mission behind that was going to be, or that when things are tight and you have to go, I can make this quick money, but that's not the right way to do it. Like, what are your right decisions to go?
Then, you know,
it's harder, but it's correct.
This may sound like a kind of a staged answer, but I truly do not think about money. And that's from day one, you know. That's what my father always instilled in me. Don't chase the money. You know, that's what I tell artists, and, you know, I live that as well. You know, when we started Red 11, it was more of a shift in passion for me, musically. I loved the artists we work with at Buddy Lee, but it wasn't my passion anymore musically. I didn't find myself you know, at home listening, craving what I was craving. Now there were a lot of artists that came with me that I was passionate about, and that's, I had kind of built this little niche when I was at Buddy Lee of artists, independent artists, the artists that are focused in on their live and their touring. And, you know, musically, I was in love with, you know, Americana, indie rock, more of the roots-oriented guitars, you know, and maybe not so much the mainstream country world. So I, you know, it was something, it wasn't really a choice. I knew I had to do it if I wanted to, you know, truly be happy.
Sure.
So it was the greatest decision I ever made.
What do you think someone in your position now, someone that goes, I know I have natural entrepreneurship tendencies, but I want to be a booking agent. What are those core skills that it takes to do that?
You know, I would encourage them to go wherever their heart goes, but I will say the experience, I don't think we would be as successful if I didn't have those years under my belt at an agency that
sure.
I respected, and they showed me the ropes. You know, they definitely, there is a way to do it, and it just takes time, just like any artist. It just takes time, and, you know, you'll know when the time is right. You know, you got to set yourself up to be successful and, you know, follow your passion. So I would encourage them, but I would also say, you know, if you have the ability and are able to get that kind of experience from some of these agencies here,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's only to your benefit, because it's, there's a lot more to it, you know, in starting your own business, and whether it's, you know, the booking platform to, you know, just basic insurance and you know, stuff that you never are going to have to think about if
sure.
you're employed somewhere. But
when you're going through that process, and not the tediousness of insurance and office space, but when you're looking at a core team and you're looking at a hungry young agent, what's your process to go, they got it, they get it, they see it, yes, I want you on the team?
I think it's spending time with them, you know, conversation, getting to know them. Especially in our agency, it's a boutique agency, so we don't have, you know, 50-plus employees.
Mm-hmm.
So in our situation, the way it's structured, personality is a big key, because, you know, if we have 16 or 17 employees between here and Austin, and you know, when you bring somebody into an environment, you know, say here if we have 8, you bring somebody into that environment, their personality is very important, because, you know, you can either be a Cancer, you can be a somebody positive. So there have been a lot of people that I thought, man, they could be a great agent, but it's not the right fit. And there's, you know, I'm currently talking to a guy right now that I think would be a great fit. So it's more about personality for me. And
sure.
and in that personality, if they're the outgoing, can talk to somebody without somebody having to come up to them, that's what I look for, somebody that's sure. going to go get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't know all the staff, but I know Geoff.
Yeah.
You know, I know Josh and
yeah.
a few of the guys. And, you know, they're both great human beings first.
Absolutely.
They got the hustle, but they're good fucking people.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Jeff, Josh has been with us a year and excited where he's going. And Jeff has been with us a little longer, 2 or 3 years, and has really made an impact. I'm really,
yeah.
you know, they're both, everybody in our office, nobody comes in a bad mood, you know?
Yeah.
And that's priceless.
Sure.
You know, some of the greatest guys I know, and girls. You know, Taylor, Blakely, Tyler, they're all great.
Well, we kind of cover from, you know, young Texas boy through the process of Mississippi through mm-hmm. now of entrepreneurship and booking all the artists. What's your mindset for the next 5 years? Like, tell me about the next chapter.
Well, we're in the process of opening an office in the UK. Very excited about that.
That's awesome, brother. Yeah. Congrats, man.
Yeah, very excited about that. That should be happening within the next few months. Everything's in the paperwork mode right now. I'm excited to see where that goes. You know, I'm excited to see where the industry goes. You know, to me, when the industry got turned, you know, upside down with Napster, and then now seeing how many different platforms and opportunities there are for artists to reach a mass audience without it just being a label that introduces them, you know, who knows where it'll go.
Sure.
The one thing I love is being in the live end of it, because so far nobody's figured out how to download live.
Yeah.
You know? So whether we go into different avenues in the industry, my core will always be live and touring. That's where my passion is, for sure.
Sure. When you're going through and you've picked up a new artist or you've signed them, all the things, all the tools are there. Tell me about your process. How do you help guide them to that next thing? How do you help their live show? Or do you?
You know, I'm truly a believer in letting the artist be the artist. Mm-hmm. Being a boutique agency, there's only so many development acts that we can jump in on just because we're a boutique agency.
Sure.
So when we find one, and there's been so many through the years, and there's artists we have now that we started when they were making $200 a night, and now they're grossing $4 or $5 million a year. It has to be there. The live, the show, the music, the team around it, like, that's what we got to place our bets on.
Sure.
So I don't think I've been in a situation where I'm telling an act how to do their live show, because I think if I was in that situation, it probably wouldn't be the right fit for our agency, just because we're not one of those agencies that can go sign everything new and see what sticks.
Sure.
You know, so we put all of our resources behind the people we are lucky enough to work with.
Absolutely. One of the things we do with all the guests, and I'm always really fascinated to kind of see what their opinion is on each. So I'm just going to rattle off some questions. You just tell me what you think.
Sure.
So one quick piece of advice for each one of the following questions here. Someone who's already in the industry, you know, they're at 3 to 7 year mark. They're still grinding it out, but they're looking to level up, not just in position, but skill level, craft, network, money, all of it.
Work harder, you know, work harder. Make, like we were talking earlier about Jimmy, we are in a customer service business, truly, when it comes down to it. There's always something you can be doing, whether it's for your boss or your artist. You make an impact and become invaluable, and you'll grow.
Absolutely. An entrepreneur that's looking to grow their business to the next level.
It's a theme here. Work harder.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been a theme throughout the whole damn series, brother.
Yeah.
Work harder.
Work harder. Put more effort. Build.
An artist, they're out there. They're doing their thing. They've got their social. They're getting decent streaming numbers. Their songs are good. They're playing some shows, but not enough. But they obviously want to get to the next level, too. Advice for that?
Well, the way you said their songs are good, make your songs great. Yeah. Everything starts with the song, you know? And it's crazy to me, but it's like I've worked with acts that I thought, oh, my God, this guy is or a girl. They're just unbelievably talented. I'm like, why hasn't this happened yet? And, you know, it's just there's something with an artist that clicks with an audience. I don't have the answer to that. Nobody does. But, you know, how many times have you seen an artist go, I just don't get it? but they're, you know,
tickets are moving.
Yeah,
they know every damn word.
It's like there's just kind of this luck dust that, you know, gets sprinkled on the right people, but they bust their ass. They work hard. They take advantage of the opportunities.
Absolutely. I'm sure, and we've never actually talked about this side of it. Over 20 years, you've had to negotiate some, be part of them, artist and brand partnerships, tour sponsors, things like that. From a brand looking to attach themselves to an artist and really leverage that fan base and build that relationship, what advice would you give to a brand looking to step into the music world?
You know, on both sides, it's got to be the right fit. You know, I have an act right now that is, you know, been offered a sponsorship that doesn't really fit with where they want to go. The money would be great, but it's not a fit.
Sure.
And when you build and nurture those relationships, you don't want to find yourself locked into something that you really can't support. So it's, to me, it's more about, you know, finding the right act for the, that makes sense for your brand.
Sure.
And vice versa for the artist.
So years ago, and I don't remember if it was Curvis or McManus, it was somebody, and they were telling me about the long distance bills you guys used to have at Buddy Lee. So obviously all that's changed now, and now you have the power of all these social media platforms to use from the artist perspective and from the agency perspective. How are you guys utilizing the artist data on your day-to-day?
You know, one of my strengths is making sure I have a great team, and we have a great team in place that really handles our social media. I'm not so much the social media guy.
Sure.
You know, the data we have is, you know, it's come with a lot of time and experience.
Sure.
You know?
When you're looking out, and I see it now from not only from the marketing side, but from the management side too, when I'm looking at streaming numbers and I'm seeing markets that could potentially be hot markets that we're not serving, then it's just, then it's the hustle. Then it's back to the booking basis. Get on the phone, route the thing, make it make sense.
Absolutely.
But now it's like it's given us all this ability to kind of see the matrix a little bit.
There's so much information available where it wasn't like that before, you know, when I started.
Sure.
When I started, the core foundation was relationship building. I think it's a different game now. I still am a firm believer in, and you have to build the relationship. You cannot build a relationship and a rapport with a promoter, a talent buyer, a fair, festival, venue, strictly through email. But so much of it is done through email now, and I tell all my guys, you have to be on the phone. You have to be talking to them. You can't call in a favor over email, you know. You have to have a relationship. So, you know, back in the day, that's what it was all about. All the information wasn't available to promoters and venues on, you know, Polestar numbers and you know, grosses. And so there was this trust, and there still has to be between the agent and the promoter, and a trust between the agent and the artist.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you're getting the most money you can for the client, but the promoter's losing money. There has to be this mutual trust and understanding on the artist end and the promoter of where they're at and how we build this. And it's all about trust.
You brought up a great point there, and I'd seen a movie, We Are Marshall. Have you ever seen that?
I have. It's been a long time.
And anyway, there's this one point. They're trying to get approved to play redshirt freshman. And he tells him, he goes, I guarantee you. He said, when you met your wife, did you ask her out on a date through a letter? And he's like, well, no. He's like, all right, when you asked her to marry you, was it over the you know, was it over the phone or whatever it was, and it was talking about if you want to do something, make it personal. Go see them in person. And I tell my staff all the time, get on the damn phone.
Yeah.
It's invaluable to build those relationships with those venues.
And go meet these people and spend time with them. And you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
They're, you know, when I first started, all my friends, you know, were not in the music business because I was fresh out of school, you know. And now, whatever, 22 years or whatever it is later, all my friends are in the music business. That's the life I've built. So
yeah,
take advantage of it.
What's one characteristic you think every leader should have?
Work harder than everybody else. You know, set the example you want your team to build on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they see you slacking, why not slack, you know?
Sure, lead from the front.
If you are positive, it's a fun working environment, you're working hard, you include everybody, you let everybody grow as they want to, you know. I say when we, you know, book a date, everybody in our office is involved in it in some way or another. Everybody feels a part. It's a fun environment. I think, you know, if you lead by fear, it's just not for me. You know?
Sure.
It has to be a fun working environment, and everybody's got to work hard. And given responsibility to everybody. Everybody has to take their own responsibility, and I think the people we have love that. They love that they're able to
do
it.
I see that so often in the industry, and as opposed to other industries where there are come in late, leave early, I just never really seen it much. And I think it's because everyone fought so damn hard to get in it to begin with.
Yeah.
It's just not something I run against. And then there's no reason to put them down. The industry will just naturally, you know, release them. It's like, okay, you're going to do you whatever.
I think there's also this, you know, and talking about how you succeed in it, there's, at least for me, there was also the fear of failure. I didn't want to fail.
Sure.
And I didn't want to get to a point where I had to look back and go, man, I could have done this, I could have done that. You know, I just, you know, maybe there is that little fear of failure that was always pushing me, but it was always my love.
Sure.
And still is to this day.
You know, the pull is strong, but the push is stronger most of the time.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you think the greatest piece of advice you've ever gotten is that really actually impacted you?
What my father told me, you know, do what you love, do it well, everything else will fall into place. You know,
sure.
Be passionate about who you are, what you want, to leave your mark. And
Do you think? What do you think it is that you want your mark to be? Like, it all ends tomorrow. That's it. That's the end of it. What's your legacy, brother?
You know, I hopefully, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there that want to kill me, but I think probably the majority are man, that guy works hard. He was a good dude. You know.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the money. It was just about having a great life.
Yeah. You know? How do you, as an agent, balance that delicate balance that you mentioned earlier about, yes, this is my client, but I've had a relationship with you for 15 years, and you're my client as well, that you touched on there about making sure it's fair and it's the best interest for both.
Are you talking about the artist and the promoter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about building live is it is a team, and it does include the promoter, the agent, the artist, the manager, the label, the publicist. It's very much everybody wants to win. If and of course I've been in this situation a lot where there are a lot of artists that aren't about that. You know, they're about the me, and I don't think they will ever go as far as they could go if they share the load. Because without the promoter, you know, without the right promoter too.
Sure.
You know, you need somebody to invest in you, and absolutely the promoter is one of the biggest.
One of the fun things we always kind of do, and this will help us kind of wrap things up here. I'm always really curious to see kind of everyone's opinion on what the golden rules of their life are,
yeah,
and what they have been. So we go through this form. It's like FORM, so family, occupation, recreation, motivation. So the golden rules of each to you, and whatever that truth is to you. So golden rules for family.
Be good.
Golden rules for occupation.
Work hard.
Golden rules for recreation.
Work harder.
Work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golden rules for recreation.
Play hard.
And then golden rules for motivation.
Be fair. Be inspiring. Be what you always wanted, you know.
Well, guys, those are the golden rules for today. You've heard it here from the man himself. Be inspired, so that way you can inspire. If you do what you love and don't chase the money, everything else will fall into place. Work your fucking ass off.
Absolutely.
Show up early. Stay late. If you're going to chase a dream, chase it with everything you got.
With integrity.
There you go, guys. Those are the golden rules for today. See you next time.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
For anybody that's trying to follow a dream, no holding back, you'll get it by any means. Idols on a wall, you cut out from magazines. Full of self-esteem, nobody can intervene. Ready for the shine, you never need in the shade. This is for the boss that never gave you a raise. This is for every time you ever tried to create and no one understood, they never gave you the space. Walking up to you, they trying to give you the crown. Look into your eyes and tell you you want a bus. Every time you turn around and face the crowd, be ready cause your time is now. It's my